Can you give me some relief?
And welcome to episode 102 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by the man who had to cancel his annual baby seal roast due to the pandemic. Brian, it's a rough Earth Day for you, I know. You normally cook up some of those delicious baby seals for your neighbor work, for your neighborhood. Not happening this year. Thoughts, reactions, comments?
Listen, when you get the loin from a baby seal, cook it to a, 180 degree right in the center. You wanted to use butter, rosemary, garlic, a little thyme. It's one of the more splendid meals that I get to enjoy every year. This year, obviously, due to the panic over coronavirus, I am not able to cross into Canada so I can head up north to club some baby seals as I like to do every March. Unfortunately, we're all making sacrifices. Currently, there are people who are, loved ones, their bodies are currently being housed in refrigerated trucks right outside of New York City hospitals, because the morgues are filled. So, if I have to give up a year of baby seal steaks, you know what? That is a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
So this is a cancellation. This isn't one of those postponement type deals. You are canceling it for the year.
The problem with it is the fact that you have to get them at the right time. U.S.-Canadian travel, they have put an end to any type of non-essential travel between the two countries for another 30 days. By the time I get to Canada, if those 30 days elapse and they do allow me into the country, by that point, those baby seals will have already started to toughen. The muscle, because they will become more active and, physically, following their mother, left and right. The marbling of the meat will have started to dissipate, and it just becomes a tougher, chewier meat. Just like certain things, there's a time and a place for it.
I got you.
Much like a okay.
I respect your commitment to quality. Also any truth. I know you're there in Queens. I know New York City continues to be hard hit by the coronavirus. I hear they are now clamping down, rolling blackouts, shutting out the lights on people out there. It appears very dark where you are. Is there truth to these rumors?
Well, one of the things that's been happening in my neighborhood is the fact that podcasters have really been taking a lot of the abuse in terms of social distancing and whatnot. So I am currently recording this in my closet.
Well, that makes sense. Did you still manage to get yourself a drink? All right, well, let's get to it.
Drink of the week.
Right. So this is a similar beer. I think I had a couple of weeks ago. This is the...
Brian, just a reminder, since we haven't fixed the audio yet, I'm trying to play the Drink of the Week theme, and you're just talking right over it. We're trying out the Zoom thing this week. We're gonna get it better next week, but I will let you know when it's time to come out of the theme.
Shouldn't you have already done that to begin with?
You would think so, but I'm gonna play it now, and I'll let you know when we're ready.
Drink of the week.
At the same time, I was going to say that we've only been doing it for over 100 episodes.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Things that I would have known if it was a drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
I was just bopping my head along to the music that only I can hear. Yeah, apologies yet again to our listeners for not having a drink of the week poll. Continuing issues with our intern. As you know, a couple of weeks ago, he had undergone that hydroxychloroquine treatment, really knocked him off his feet for a week. Then last week, he had that that dinner delivered by Gold Belly from the Chinese wet market. Just not good whatsoever. And to be fair, we don't offer a great medical package here at the Ron and Brian podcast. So our healthcare company actually sent him down to Mexico for treatment because it was cheaper there. And now, due to the Trump executive order, cannot get back in the country. So we have reached out. We're going to try and get him smuggled back in one of those El Guapo tunnels. But hopefully he will be back in time for next week's episode. Brian, in the meantime, what are you bringing to the table to drink this week?
I'm sorry. I just love the El Guapo reference.
You gotta bring up El Guapo every now and then.
I fucking love that. I'm doing a beer that I had a couple of weeks ago. This is the S'mores Stout from Energy City Brewing. You know, I like a little chocolate in my beer. I'm not a big fan of the lactose, which I know you are.
So, I'm a fan.
Cheers to you, my friend.
And that is good. That is one you liked. Let me just crack one open here. This one, let me show you this fancy little can here. That's right. It's the Brony beer from Illuminated Brew Works, a double dry hopped India Pale Ale. For all those bronies out there, they even got a little character right at the bottom there. Are you a brony, Brian? You a big fan of My Little Pony?
Well, first off, I don't believe I have seen one episode of My Little Pony, let alone would I decide to socialize with other males who are also fans of My Little Pony.
Now,
my question to you is, more importantly, how is that beer?
So it says here, this beer is for bronies, not phonies. Huel, Melon, Motuka, Citra, and Raku hops swim together in notes of citrus, strawberry, and orchard fruits. I got to admit, I'm not getting a lot of hop there. I mean, it's not bad. It's a decent beer, but for a double IPA, I would like it to be a little bit more hoppy.
But are you now about that life?
I might be. I mean, you were always convinced that I was going to join the furry lifestyle. Maybe this is me looking to join the brony lifestyle.
For 8 years in a row, when we have our year in review, we always see whether my predictions have come true. Every year for the past 8 years, I have lost on will Ron quit his job and join the furries. This year, I think, you know, I've already got the first half done. Now, all I need you to do is just to join the furries.
Well, I will see what I can do. Again, hopefully we will have a poll up next week for a drink of the week. So keep an eye out on our social media, on the Facebook, on the Twitter, or as always, just go to ronandbrian.com or ronandbrianpodcast.com. That's right, those sons of bitches, Ron... Howard and Brian Glazier own ronandbrian.com. It's a sore subject, and Brian, I know how you get, and I'm sorry I brought it up.
Fuck those two assholes. Fuck them right in their Hollywood assholes.
All right. In the meantime, we finally have some racism this week.
This week in
racism.
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 Well, we had mentioned last week we thought racism might be over, possibly due to the quarantine, the self-isolation, but it came back with a vengeance this week. But first, before we roll into this week's candidate, we do want to replay, since Ricky Forbito, our defending champion, has been sitting on the sidelines for the last couple of weeks. Let's refresh everybody's memory as to his racist outburst.
You fucking nigger! You fucking fat fuck! You wanna go outside, you nigger? Do something, bitch! I'll fuck you more up! You don't fuck you, nigger! Get your fucking... your nigger! Touch your fucking fat fuck!
I'll fuck you up!
Fucking do it!
Where's touch you?
Hey, fuck you, you fuck you, nigga. Shit. Shut up.
Oh, hey,
go for it.
This is how I'm trying to fucking help you.
Fuck you, nigga. I don't need no help. Fuck you and this nigga. You want to bring it, fat boy?
All right, so that's just a taste of our defending champion, Ricky Forbido, who had knocked off fan favorite and Brian's favorite, Hans Berglund, a few weeks back, but has been waiting for a contender. And whoa, doctor, do we have a contender this week? Some of you have seen this. I'm sure it doesn't surprise anybody. We are going down to Carrollton City, Georgia, Carrollton High School. We've got Stephanie Freeman and Jeffrey Hume. And let's listen to the TikTok video they did.
Hey, today we're making...
niggers.
First we have...
black.
Yeah.
Pretty black.
Yeah. Next we have... Don't have a dad.
Don't have a dad? Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have eat watermelon and fried chicken.
Fried chicken, yeah. Watermelon? Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Next one is make good choices. Let's see.
There's nothing there. Next we have rob people.
Specifically whites. Yeah, they do that.
Last one is...
go to jail?
So yes, the two of them were attempting to do a mock cooking show, which they were doing in a bathroom, which didn't make sense to begin with. You would think it would be in a kitchen, but just horribly racist. They have managed, without school being in session, to get expelled from Carrollton High School. It's impressive. I mean, that is some white privilege at play right there. So the duo of Stephanie Freeman and Jeffrey Hume will be going up against Ricky Forbido in This Week in Racism. We will have the polls up shortly on our Facebook page and our Twitter page. Brian, I throw it over to you. It's been a few weeks since we've had a matchup, but what is your take on the slobber knocker we have ahead of us in the coming week?
I'm just going to put it out here. These kids have just looked at the field of racism that we have put forth in 2020 and hiked down their shorts and took a gigantic shit on everybody we have put forth. These two kids have saved racism from the coronavirus. I think these kids have a couple weeks in them.
I mean, we have often talked about how the high schools are producing some solid racists. We've had Spain High School. We've had other high school kids. Kickapoo High School racist comes to mind. But they always seem to lose out and pale in comparison to their adult counterparts. But these guys are solid. And we have had a number of people already say that perhaps Racist of the Year tournament is done for. Like, we should just give the title to Freeman and Hume. I mean, your thoughts on that?
I think that's premature. It is only the middle of April. We still have 9.5 months left before we get to the point where we can declare racism has been eliminated in terms of anybody who can lay claim to being able to challenge the dynamic duo here. These kids have a lot of legs in them, but all we really need is some guy from Tennessee to get loaded on whiskey and to go and to go outside. So I think we've got great candidates going up this week. I'm really interested to seeing how the people vote. But we have so much time. I mean, if this pandemic goes on any longer, you know, if we've got people in the streets protesting because they want to get a haircut, and we'll get to that later on. But I think we have a lot of potential for some great audio coming up. I'm hoping for it.
We are having a hard time securing a sponsor for the year-end racism tournament. A couple of them just pulled out this week and said, listen, we feel no one's going to pay attention because these kids were so good. That was on top of prior this year, we were in some intense conversations with Devil's Brewery and Smokehouse in Wuhan, and they obviously pulled their sponsorship consideration for apparent reasons.
Wuhan.
perhaps we can get him back into the mix now that everything seems to be open and going there. But yeah, so anyway, go to Facebook, go to Twitter, and vote on Racist of the Week. In the meantime, let's talk about our beefs.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
All right, Brian, what is your beef this week, my friend?
I think I may have already used this one. This may not be a new beef this week.
Okay.
But people complaining about concerts that they had purchased tickets to that have been postponed.
I don't know if you've mentioned it as a beef of a week, but you have definitely mentioned it in the past month or so.
I think over the past week, there have in New York City, they have already announced that mass gatherings through June have already been canceled.
Okay.
So any type of parade or things like that throughout the month of June has been canceled. And my Facebook feed has literally it's been obliterated with people complaining about this concert, this festival, it's a rough time we're going through, and I understand, you know, things, you know, people's patience is rather thin right now, walk by a hospital right now and take a look at the people that are, look at the hospital staff as they walk out. Look at the forklifts that are taking body bags, filled body bags, and loading the refrigerated trucks outside as a temporary morgue. Those people have a right to complain.
So for those of you who have placed your wagers this week, the over-under on Brian mentioning refrigerated trucks was 3. He's now up to 2. So if you have picked the over, you are on. You are looking pretty good right now, my friend. I feel people's pain. We have tickets at the end of August to see Green Day, Weezer, and Fall Out Boy, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that concert still happens.
Whatever happened to the Alex's Lemonade Stand charity thing? Am I out $150?
You know, we are waiting to hear what's going to happen with that. Our governor here in Pennsylvania is letting people came out with a plan tonight. I missed the press conference, but I know he's starting to send some industries allowing them to open back up as of May 8th.
Would that include completely voluntary auction for charity events?
I'm not quite sure. So it'll be tough to see. I'm sure it will be a very difficult event for them to postpone since they coordinate this with like 50 different chefs. But we shall see. And at the end of the day, Brian, you gave money to a good cause, and that's really what's important.
If I can speak honestly, and
please.
What are we, 30 minutes into this? Maybe the first honest thing I've said all episode. It's not about the $150.
No.
What it was I wanted to watch you and your wife get drunk and then get upset at each other for the things that each of you were bidding on.
I mean, I think you've seen that already, but...
But not in an auction. Not in an auction.
Okay.
Type setting.
That's fair.
I really wanted to see you bid like $4,000 on something completely unnecessary. I wanted to see her bid on like another dog. that literally was just a stray in an alleyway, but she was gonna, you know, write a check for $500. Like, okay. That's the kind of stuff I wanted to see.
Well, hopefully for your sake and for the sake of Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, hopefully this still happens in some way, shape, or form.
Fingers crossed.
So my beef this week is actually it's with my face, with my beard in particular.
What?
Because we are now over a month into the quarantine beard. And I've always had a very spotty beard growing in. And I still can't seem to get the mustache to connect to everything else going on here. Still a little spotty on the sides. Although I was watching John Hodgman on his Instagram live today, and he kind of cuts the mustache right here and then just kind of lets the beard kind of go a little bit lower so it doesn't connect. So maybe that's a look. Maybe it's something I'll have to look into.
What you can also do is this hair will grow longer.
Well, and that's where this is where it's gotten to so far.
Style, so. And then you just style it so that, you know, the two lines meet. And then what you can also do is just lower the line here so that, you know, it's almost like a chin strap coming down.
That's what I'm thinking.
So that you don't really see the spots. You just see this area and then coming down. I mean, I've got just this like dense brush. You know, it's almost like I feel like I need a machete to just start whacking the brush down like I am walking through the jungles of Nairobi looking for the hidden treasure, also known as my face.
You were a real man, and you grow a real man beard. There's no question about it.
See, this is the problem, and this is what I realize. I've got a lot of gray hair. Gray hair does not like to be shaped. Gray hair likes to go in whatever direction it wants to go. So I will come out of my shower with the towel prior to drying myself down my nether regions and my butt crack. I do the face first. But when I'm done with this, this thing literally looks like it's being attacked by static. So I thought about trimming it down, but then I sit there and I go, no, if Ron's growing his shit out, I need to grow my shit out. Though I will say earlier this week, was it this week? Yes. I got completely bored, shaved the armpits down just so that my deodorant was always on the skin and not being matted up in the clumps of underarm hair that had grown out of control.
I've been doing that for years. Like, I have the most disgusting armpit hair. Like, if I'm not wearing a shirt and my arms are at my sides, it's that armpit hair that still kind of sticks out on each side. Yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous. So, yeah, I got the Manscaper, which they are not a sponsor, but we would. I have the 2.0. I have not got the Lawnmower 3.0.
I've got the 2. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Should we start growing up downstairs also?
Of course. I did that right. 2 days later. Gotcha. Still managed to nick my nutsack. I don't know how.
I did that the other day when I was cleaning up, and yeah, it bleeds a little bit.
And this is why if you remember, they reached out to us about 4 weeks ago and said, hey, listen, you guys have the hottest podcast going on right now.
Right.
Not affiliated to a network. How do we get in? We were like, no. Manscaped, be gone. Because our nutsacks get nicked despite all of your advertising, which says that you don't get nicked anymore.
Yeah. I can't tell if it was a nick or if it just yanked a hair out and that's what caused the bleeding.
The pain is when, and I know, I can only imagine there are hundreds of listeners right now listening to this right now who are like, oh, me too.
Yeah, but they feel our pain.
The pain when you take your soapy hands and decide, okay, now I'm going to like wash my ball sack, and the soap just infiltrates the wound, the open gaping wound on your nutsack. You know, I'm not saying it's to the point of being degloved.
No,
what I'm saying is that it is a pain.
I understand. But yeah, the armpit thing's just a given. Like I just want to be just hairless from the neck down at this point.
But God damn it, you need to keep that brush going on up there.
I'm working on it.
Now,
this is my first gray hair, though, that I get in my beard.
I like it. Like, it's a little patch. Like, it adds a...
But it's also on the sides. You can't see as well, but the sides also come in a little bit gray.
Now, here's the real test. How long are we going to do this for? Are we doing this the whole time?
I mean, it's interesting to see how long this will go. I don't know when I'm going back to work, although I may have to go take a tour of a hotel that my company is considering buying next week. But I feel my savior is the mask I will have to wear during the tour. If I throw an N95 over this bad boy right now, people just kind of see the sides and they're like, all right, that's not too bad.
I was reading an article earlier today about the future of hotels.
You know, it's, I've been
and
in
that
the,
they are, goodbye are the mini bars. Goodbye are a lot of the amenities in the room, the gyms, the whatnot. It is now going, you know, they're saying you check in, you go into your room, you have a bed, you know, a lot of the things that you've come to accept and embrace and expect in a hotel room are going to be long gone.
Well, and you know, in some ways, the hotel industry has been moving to a contactless delivery system. If you want, you know, I mean, you can make your reservation on your phone. You can check in on your phone. We can send you your key on your phone so that you never even need to stop at the front desk, check in. You can just go straight to your room. If you have requests, things of that nature, you know, you can do that through the app. There is, you know, hotel chains that are working on doing your room service, ordering through the app. Same thing. You can order your room service. Room service gets dropped outside your door. And then housekeeping takes care of your room while you're gone. So there are definitely changes there. What will also be interesting to see is from a meeting and convention standpoint, how is this going to change? You know, whereas, you know, normally we would get these groups that would try and fit as many people into our meeting space as possible. Is that now going to change? And they're going to be like, well, you know, we'd like to have 80 people, but we really can only fit 30 people if we space them out accordingly.
And is it still are they still able to make any money on that?
Right. I mean, if it's a corporate meeting, that's one thing. But if it, you know, we do a lot of events with people that are trying to sell a product to their attendees. And yeah, I mean, your capture rate goes down significantly when your attendance is not where you want it to be.
Are you talking to like a Tony Robbins seminar?
We haven't quite done a Tony Robbins seminar, but we do a lot of those real estate seminars.
Like how to flip real estate, how to be a real estate millionaire starting with $10,000.
Exactly. How to flip your life and it's the worst because you see people coming on public transportation because, you know, they don't have the money to purchase a vehicle, but yet right. They're now going to try and flip real estate, and you really just want to pull them inside and say, you're the only one that's going to make money on this are the people giving the seminar. Right. Like, you're not going to make any money on this.
Nope. Well, the whole idea of it is that it's against the interest of the person giving the seminar to now suddenly have 40 new people in the same market all looking to buy the same piece of real estate.
They don't want the competition, no question.
No, they just want to make money doing seminars. What do you think about you and I starting a seminar business?
On how to do the greatest podcast in the world?
Fuck yeah.
All right, let's sign some people up. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how a variety of industries change. How is the restaurant industry going to change? I mean, you see it there in New York City more than anywhere else, is that restaurants attempt to put as many tables and chairs as possible into the square footage they have available to them. Is that going to be the norm? And are we going to see places like New York City, Philadelphia, major cities say, you know what, restaurants need to keep a certain amount of distance from table to table moving forward?
I'm okay with that, even if it means my meal is more expensive. There are restaurants where I've really enjoyed the food, but you literally have a table inches away from you. And listen, we all can accept that I have a short attention span, and I cannot count the number of times I have been having dinner with someone and caught myself paying more attention to the conversation to my right. You know, like if people are close, that's a problem.
So we'll see. And bars, I mean, you know, bars are live on packing as many people in as possible. So, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how a lot of different industries are impacted over the next year with this this whole coronavirus situation.
And, you know, just to play devil's advocate in terms of the argument for maybe that we don't have to be as concerned moving forward is just the fact that, you know, the United States of America, we've already lost like 45,000 people, you know? So the idea is that a lot of these Applebee's and Chili's, they've lost a certain percentage of their customers. So maybe they don't need to rethink a floor plan of those types of restaurants, because a lot of people that normally would be at a Chili's on a Thursday night died in the hotels, not the hotels, died in the hospitals because they had diabetes, asthma, they were elderly, they were obese. And maybe it's not necessarily something we need to be worried that much about.
I was trying to see why you were insinuating that, like, Applebee's and TGI Friday's customers were dying at a higher rate than anyone else, but I get it now. And when they died in these hospitals, where did they go after that?
Ooh, geez. I mean, you got plenty of different options. You know, cremation, burials.
But I'm saying right after, like right after they died, before the family is able to get the body. Where are a lot of these bodies being stored right now?
Did you bet over, Ron? I'm starting to think that you bet over.
I can't comment on that.
All I will say is the fact that if the morgue is full, funeral homes are currently on a one-month backlog in New York City. Maybe not in other areas of the country, but in New York City, they are right now about a month behind death dates. I mean, you've got very limited options in what you can do with a human cadaver that is being released by a hospital. I mean, the only thing I could think of is, you know, I mean, you want to make sure that it's cold, you know, it doesn't start rotting. You want to make sure
someplace that maybe is refrigerated.
Yes. Preferably someplace that's mobile or has the potential to be converted into a mobile form of transportation.
So like a car? Like something that sized?
Thinking bigger.
Bigger?
Thinking bigger.
Like an SUV, perhaps?
Bigger. Like a truck? Almost like a like an 18-wheeler truck, like a refrigerated truck. But then we have the problem of how do you get the body from the morgue, because those trucks are elevated. You're not going to be able to just roll it in. You're going to need some type of machinery to elevate the body. I guess you'd have to use some kind of a pitchfork to roll the body into a refrigerated truck outside of New York City hospitals.
Did you just say a pitchfork? Like, are you going to, are you picturing them pitchforking bodies and throwing them like a bale of hay?
S'more Stout by Energy City Brewing.
Well, we are now at 3 mentions of the refrigerated truck, so right now it's a push. We will have to wait and see in the next 30 minutes if Brian can make another mention of it. All right.
My goal has always been to make you a rich man.
I understand, and I appreciate that. So let's see. Do we have any non-coronavirus stories that we can talk about this week?
Why would we?
It just feels like we talk about coronavirus all the time, and it gets to be a bit much. There has to be something more uplifting, something bigger. Like, what about our friends to the north? Is there anything been going on in Canada this week?
It's been pretty quiet.
The mass shooting in Nova Scotia?
No, the mass shootings only happen in America. there's never any mass shootings in Canada. I mean, they're peaceful people.
Well, apparently, Gabriel Wortman, not as peaceful. He was a 51-year-old denture maker and went on a rampage this past weekend, fatally shot. I think they found 4 more bodies, so I think the count is up to 21 deaths at this point.
One of the problems, he was one of our patrons. He was a Patreon subscriber at the diamond level. So that's going to have a toll on the Ron and Brian podcast Patreon community. He was very active on the on the comment sections of our Patreon. It's going to hurt. You're saying 21 people?
I'm saying apparently there were 17 in the initial, and then they found another 4 more bodies, I think, in another location. Terrible. The worst mass shooting in Canada's history, because apparently he first killed his ex and his ex's new boyfriend. He dragged a Mountie from his car and executed her. He set fires to homes along the way. So the RCMP thinks that they are still remains in those homes that were burnt to the ground. So it was a true clusterfuck.
What do the Red Hot Chili Peppers have to do with this?
I said the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
So this has nothing to do with Under the Bridge, because that was a great song when it came out in the 90s.
Not Under that I'm aware of, no.
Under the bridge downtown.
Now, the crazy thing is he had managed to get an RCMP uniform, not a Red Hot Chili Peppers uniform, a Royal Canadian Mounted Police uniform, and drove around in a commissioned cop car for part of his siege. I mean, it was, it apparently was targeted at first for his ex and his ex's new boyfriend, and then just went on a random killing spree.
Once you've already got two kills underneath your belt, you may as well just see how many you can get.
And then apparently, he carjacked a lot of vehicles. He tried to get away. He was cornered at a gas station where the police did the right thing and shot him to death.
This sounds like Grand Theft Auto.
Because if it was America, since he was a white guy, the police probably would have taken him alive. But Canada is smart enough to say, you know what? We need to kill this person.
I watched a very interesting, I think it was Dateline or 2020. It was a two-hour episode recently, literally during quarantine. So this must have been in the past 3 weeks or so. It was a story of an Uber driver in, I want to say Michigan, may have been Minnesota, who, while driving for Uber, has a passenger in the front seat, starts driving erratically. The guy gets out, calls the police to say, I was just in an Uber, the guy's driving erratically. This guy literally shoots like four or five people.
Yeah.
Throughout the day, he's still taking Uber rides. Like,
dropping people off. He's picking people up. He is dropping them off at their locations and then just randomly killing people.
Then gets back into his car. Like, there was one scene where they've got him. He shoots this father and son who were looking at a car at a dealership, shoots them both to death, gets in his car, drives a distance, and then picks up a ride. It's mind-blowing that this guy is on a murder rampage and he's still sitting there trying to make sure that he maintains a 4.8 rating on his Uber. It's insane. So I can only imagine what this guy was doing in the interim, because this was an hours-long rampage. This was not like
10 hours, I think it went on for.
You can do a lot of damage in 10 hours.
So, Brian, quick trivia question for you. This recent one is the most deadliest mass shooting in Canada. Do you know what held the record prior to this?
As in, do I know the story or do I know the number?
Do you know the story? Think about it.
No.
Mull it
over. Oh, wait a second.
It was the Ecole Polytechnic Massacre. The reason you might know that is Mark Lapine went on a rampage against women because he was one of the original incels. And we discussed this in our incel movement episode way back in, like, what was that, episode 3 or 4? Like 100 episodes ago, we talked about it.
Old forced incelibate. Oh,
so Mark Lapine has been erased from the record books. And now Canada has a new number one mass murderer. But the number one mass murderer in the U.S. right now, still the coronavirus. We try to escape it each and every week. And
I thought you were going to say Donald Trump was the number one killer.
I mean, you could say that he has something to do with the 45,000 plus deaths, especially, you know, since today it was discovered that initially we felt the first coronavirus death was in Washington on February 29th. We have now found out that it took place February 6th in California. So that means 3 weeks prior than we first thought, which means the virus was here much sooner than anybody anticipated. And the response has been very slow. We had issues with testing. I believe you shared an article with me today where the testing was assigned to somebody whose previous job experience was being a dog breeder. The CDC and the Homeland NIH, Security tests were 4 to 5 NWA. Weeks behind. What's that?
And the NWA.
And the NWA were behind, even though the WHO had a test. A shit show from beginning to end. And now, today, the head of the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, Dr. Rick Bright, has been reassigned to a lesser position. Basically, he feels because he did not support Donald Trump's position on the hydroxychloroquine treatment, which is being proven not to be effective in field tests right now. And so he is going to be filing a whistleblower complaint with the Department of Health and Human Services Inspector General.
We live in a time where it doesn't matter what these tests show. It doesn't matter what these studies show, because you've got a guy in the White House who, no matter what you put in front of him, will just say, I don't agree with that. The people who are doing this test are slanted. They're trying to make me look bad. Therefore, I still feel that this drug is something that we should look into. I have there's no faith that this man is going to look at anything, or the people around him are going to look at anything to say, you were wrong. It's not going to happen.
No, it's not. And I was watching part of the press conference tonight, and I want to beat my head against the wall. But, yeah. The CDC director was trying to walk back the comments he made to the Washington Post about how, the second wave of coronavirus could be even deadlier because it will overlap the flu season. And meanwhile, Trump's over on the side like, whoa, I mean, the coronavirus may not even come back. Like, I talked to 10 people today and I'm like, well, who the fuck did you talk to? Sean Hannity, Rush Vince Limbaugh, McMahon. Stephen Miller, Vince McMahon. Like, I can talk to 10 people too, and they can give me absolute horseshit as well. Like, talk to 10 fucking professionals and let me know what you're going to say. And I love CNN, because CNN, the balls that the CNN cryon guy has grown is ridiculous, because the CDC guy got up there and tried to be like, I said it would be difficult this upcoming season. I didn't say it would be worth. And then the cryon came on and said, CDC chief tries to, but doesn't, walk back his comments from the Washington Post. That's really why I watch it. I want to see how CNN is going to fuck with Donald Trump and everybody else speaking up there.
How soon until he just cuts them out of the White House?
I don't understand. Sure. And what drives me crazy is this woman, this woman is trying to get a question. And he points her, he's like, you weren't called on. Like, stop being a fucking child.
He is a fucking child. He has always been a fucking child. He hates women. He hates the media. He hates liberals. He hates anybody that is going to question his total authority. He probably doesn't believe that they're using refrigerated trucks to house corpses.
Punch my ticket. Woo! I am loaded now. That's right. Refrigerated trucks and forklifts. Despite everything going on with the coronavirus, we are seeing states attempting to come back already. Georgia is bringing what back on Friday.
What the gyms, fuck is wrong with Georgia?
Hair salons,
bowling alleys,
tattoo parlors, bowling. And this was the shocking thing. This is the one thing that did surprise me. With Trump and his press conference tonight, is he said that he had spoken with Governor Brian Kemp and feels that Georgia is coming back too quickly. So if Donald Trump, if you're a governor of a state and Donald Trump is telling you that you're bringing your state's economy back too quickly, you're bringing it back too quickly.
Oh, yeah. Because
here's a guy who wants to open everything up. But even Donald Trump is looking at this like, what the fuck? Tattoo parlors, gyms, hair salons.
He wants everything to open up again, but he doesn't want the deaths to go up.
No, he doesn't.
Like, he wants everything to open up so the economy does great, but he won't be okay if we have thousands of people dying every day. Because then it will make him look bad. Because then we'll have to shut everything down again. So he's trying to figure out how to open everything up, but be able to blame other people when things go bad.
And the model, the pandemic model that the White House has been referring to.
Ron, I have a lot of experience with models, you know, not that kind. But I've got a lot of, you know what kind of models I have experience with.
That's right. The pandemic model that the White House has been continuously referring to, even that model has pointed to Georgia saying Georgia should be shut down, is one of 11 states should be shut down through June 8th to be safe. Because of the current rise of their cases, the expectation of where cases are going to go, the expectation of where deaths are going to go. You know, Georgia, because it started, you know, stay at home and things like that extremely late, they should be out till at least June 8th. And now here it is. This Friday is going to be April 24th. They're sending things back. On Monday, they're going to allow restaurants to start dine-in seating. And again, there are a number of restaurants that are saying we're not going to reopen.
Ron, but we need to be able to get haircuts.
but this is who it fucks over. It fucks over the poor.
It always does.
If Georgia says your company has to open, now people in those industries can't claim unemployment anymore.
And they have to go to work. Because
you are now allowed to go back in. And businesses can't file for job interruption insurance because your state is no longer shutting your business down.
Of course. Think about it. They say restaurants have to open. Okay. Now you, as the person who's currently staying at home, you say to yourself, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go for dinner. So you get in your car, you drive to the restaurant, you sit down and you eat. You finish your meal and you come home. How many people did you genuinely just interact with? How many people did you get within 6 feet of? You're the employee who's got a waiter or a waitress whose job it is to get near everybody for a 12-hour shift. You're exposing yourself to so many different people.
It's ridiculous. I mean, if you're a business owner,
please, I hope people in South die. New York has been hit so badly. It is, you know, so many people have died. Most people I know of can sit there and be like, oh, yeah, my friend's, you know, cousin, this person, that person. And the South has not seen the level that we have. So they don't believe how dangerous and scary this virus is. And the only way they'll learn is if they get fucked the way New York did.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing. We have seen a ton of protests across the country. We saw them in Kentucky. We saw them in Michigan. We saw them in Pennsylvania this week. And it is these rubes from the outlying places that are not seeing impacts like the major cities are. And it is such a fucking me-only mentality in this country that says, if my community isn't being impacted, why should I have to do anything? Well, now we're going to see. Listen, if Georgia can come back and cases don't go through the roof, then that is a best case scenario for the rest of the country. That means other states can start to try and ease back in. I'm not saying New York City. I'm not saying areas of high density are going to have the same thing. But, you know, other states can really start to look to open up their economy. But I feel, just like you do, that this is going to lead to a number of higher cases and a higher number of deaths in the state of Georgia.
Have you
Fucking governor admitted weeks ago that he didn't even realize that asymptomatic people existed with the coronavirus, even though that had been out there for two fucking months. He's got no concept how this disease works.
Have you read anything about Sweden?
I haven't. I hear they've been trying to keep the economy going, but I haven't seen any results from that.
What they did was they basically said everything is out, but the at-risk people have to stay at home and quarantine themselves.
Which would seem reasonable.
What they said they were doing was they wanted to build a mass of people who would be exposed to the virus, would not risk the health of the people who were most likely to be hospitalized and die from it. So their number of cases in terms of hospitalizations is way lower than other countries. But what they wanted to do was build up a mass of people who have been exposed to the virus, who have gone through whatever, you know, symptoms they have and are now immune to the, or in theory are immune to becoming ill from the coronavirus. So you have companies open, stores open, restaurants open. They show today in the news people sitting there having a beer in a bar, sitting there being like, yeah, no, I'm not sick. I haven't gotten sick. My life's been completely normal. Grandma can't leave the house. You know, like we drop her groceries off, but like we're okay. Like it's just a different model, a different approach to this where they didn't just shut everything down. Something to think about. I mean, the problem with America here is that you can travel from New York to Georgia. You know, in the sense that we can literally empty a hospital right now. We can, you know, of people that are coughing their lungs out. We could just ship them down to Georgia. And Georgia's, model of, hey, you know, we are, nobody's sick over here. We can just fuck it. We can fuck that shit up royally.
Just send everybody down there. Just give ship us them down there.
2 weeks of people coughing. 2 weeks of people coughing. And we can fuck the whole state of Georgia up.
Well, in Kentucky, after the protests, the day after their protests, they had their highest number of reported cases of coronavirus. So, you know, we're going to see. I'm sure with everything happening in Harrisburg, we'll see a spike in Pennsylvania as well. There's still a lot of irony out there as far as this gentleman, John McDaniel out of Ohio. He had initially dismissed the coronavirus pandemic as, quote, a political ploy, and also called his state's lockdown as bullshit. What do you think happened to him, Brian?
I'm going to say that, you did use the word irony. So I'm going to say that he was met by some bad luck.
He did. He has passed away last Wednesday. From the coronavirus, exactly a month after firing off a series of angry messages about it. He said, does anybody have the guts to say this COVID-19 is a political ploy? Asking for a friend, prove me wrong, he wrote on March 13th. Well,
and coronavirus said, hold my beer, I'm going to prove this guy wrong. Good riddance.
Coronavirus said, fuck you, you're dead now. We've got more pastors continuing to try and hold their ceremonies. We've got Louisiana pastor Tony Spell. Now he has been arrested on an aggravated assault charge. Although this is kind of weird. He backed up a church bus near a protester outside his church on Sunday.
That doesn't sound like a very godly thing to do.
Not a very godly thing. Now, this is interesting. He was arrested on one count of aggravated assault and improper backing. I am always amazed at the number of exact laws that there are out there. I didn't realize there was an improper backing statute out there.
I once was in a Thailand brothel.
Yes.
And you walk in and, you know, there's all these girls that are in the room. I met a young lady. She was taking me into a back room for a massage. And, as soon as we got into the room, she took out a padding that she had in her shorts. And that also was improper backing.
Now, this is a sad story. This was a basketball tournament being held in early March. It was, I'm trying to think, where is this location here?
Indiana, I believe.
Indiana. Basically a huge regional basketball tournament, March 6th, 2,800 fans. It was reported that same day, that March 6th, that the first person in Indiana had tested positive for coronavirus. They were trying to decide whether they should hold the basketball tournament or not. They still did.
How'd that go?
But, well, now five people who were in the gym that night have since died after testing positive for coronavirus. Can't tell if it was from being at the basketball tournament, but obviously being in a group of, you know, people that close together, not so good.
Didn't really work out. Do we know?
I mean,
Do we know what the final scores were? Ron, do we know what the final scores were?
I don't have the scores. I do not have my sportscaster's blazer on, so I'm not prepared to talk sports scores.
Because I had Indianapolis laying 4 points in that quarterfinals. I just want to know how I did.
I will have to research that and let you know. But again, talking about impact to the hotel business, you know, we were having a discussion today about the upcoming college football season and whether that will take place, and the number of hotel rooms that these big college programs fill. I mean, we've got a hotel in State College, and Penn State draws 108,000 people to a game. Can you picture by September of this year the state allowing 108,000 people to gather in a stadium that close together?
I think 2020 is going to be a gigantic L. I think that we have to just assume that anything for entertainment purposes will have to be done remotely, meaning no audience. I just cannot imagine a football stadium filled with people, not even the 100,000, but even a baseball game. You're not going to put 30,000 people sitting next to each other and so on and so on. It's just not happening. It can't.
Well, now they're talking about moving the college football schedule potentially to the spring, because the schools, you know, they need the revenue from these football games. They need the ticket sales. They need the concession stand sales. They need the merchandising sales.
So they're
saying, rather than try and hold football games without any attendees whatsoever, let's just shift the season to start in March.
All right.
May or may not happen. I know, but I was hearing today on ESPN that is something being considered.
I would say that we're much more likely to be able to congregate publicly a year from now than 5 months from now.
Listen, if we don't have testing or treatment, it's tough to picture people gathering together.
Bloomberg is on the case.
Now, de Blasio was on the case. He set up a tip hotline for New Yorkers to be able to report any of their fellow New Yorkers that they saw not adhering to the social distancing guidelines. Brian, how did that work out for the mayor?
Splendidly. one of the things that New York has said is we need to socially distance ourselves. There can be no mass gatherings of people, regardless of the number. You need to stay 6 feet apart unless you are quarantining with that person. So one of the ways to enforce that, our mayor, Billy de Blasio, he said, listen, if you see people that are not socially distancing, if you see people that are not staying apart from each other, I want you to take a picture of it, and I want you to send it to my hotline. And he got a lot of dick pics.
He got a ton of dick pics. And apparently a lot of Hitler memes as well.
Of course. It's inevitable. I mean, it's good intentions, but this is New York. There's nothing we can take seriously. I mean, had I even known that there was a hotline to send photos to, I would have sent memes to it. I wouldn't have done a dick pic. I had not shaved my junk yet, so it was still just a thick, you know, thatch. It looked kind of like this.
I got you. Well, so yeah, that apparently was shut down after 2 days. So good try, but apparently did not happen. All right, before we wrap up here, real quick, what are you watching, Brian?
Right now I'm watching a show on Netflix called hashtag Black AF.
All right, from the creator of Blackish and what are a bunch of other shows.
I had never heard of the dude. I have no idea who he was. So you're talking about Kenya Barris, mm-hmm. who created the show, stars in the show, I believe helped write it. I don't know who he is, but it is the story of a African-American Hollywood producer and the trials and tribulations that he faces with his family living in Hollywood. It's a little tone deaf in the coronavirus age. Everybody is locked down in quarantine, and I'm watching a show on people living in a Hollywood mansion wearing designer clothes. There's lots of references to luxury brands. They've got a lot of drip, I believe is the phrase.
Quite a amount of drip.
I'm right now throwing shade, but let me spill some tea. I do enjoy African-American shows if I feel I can learn from it. In a different time, a different age, I probably would enjoy it more. Right now, I'm watching it thinking to myself, there are people that are dying in hospitals right now, you know, there's no room in the morgue for. So they're literally being carried by a pitchfork into a refrigerated truck outside of hospitals. And somehow I'm supposed to watch African-American TV exec who's debating whether his athleisure wear is still relevant. Your thoughts?
I've only seen the first episode so far. I enjoyed it. Thought it was very humorous. I needed something a little bit more lighthearted to get my mind off of everything horrible happening. So I will probably keep with it.
You should keep with it. There are moments where it's good. But Black Twitter up in arms over this show.
Well, Black Twitter is the authority.
Black Twitter has not accepted, and obviously we have not had a racial draft since season one of the Chappelle Show, but Black Twitter is not accepting Parks and Recreation and The Office star Rashida Jones as one of their own.
But isn't Quincy Jones noted African-American, her dad?
Nobody said Black Twitter was smart.
All right.
They are very influential. They are very entertaining. And frankly, they are a reflection of a community. But they are up in arms over the fact that the role of the mother in this family, Kenya Barris's wife, is played by a mixed-race Rashida Jones. And what is funny is that I saw a tweet which was responding to someone's, I can't believe they cast this white woman. It was like, her name is Rashida Jones. Like, at what point did you not think this woman was African American? Her name is Rashida Jones. Like, I got a good chuckle at it. That's where Black Twitter delivers every time for me.
Every time. All right. I was watching, and I've been sleeping on this documentary a little bit, but McMillions on HBO. It is an episodic documentary about how people were ripping off the McDonald's Monopoly game for like 12 or 13 years. How apparently there was no legitimate big prize winner for that like 12 or 13 year period.
What?
Very interesting. It gets a little slow in the middle because I think they fall into that trap with like Tiger King, for example. There's a bunch of crazy fucking individuals in that documentary. But everybody's story is ridiculously interesting. Yep. They try and delve more into the individual stories of some of the more outlandish people involved in this story, and it's not quite that good.
That's a shame.
Just the fact that this game went on for all these years, being basically fixed by people that were involved in running it, and... And even still, I mean, were you even aware that the McDonald's game was rigged for all those years?
I had no idea.
Like the fact that it went on and people were arrested and prosecuted and everything else, and McDonald's kind of kept it out of the glare of the media is very interesting. There's an FBI agent who handled it who's completely off the wall. So a lot of crazy characters. It's six episodes. And I also just finished the second season of Surviving R. Kelly, or I guess part two of Surviving R. Kelly, which dropped on Netflix earlier this week. Don't know that I learned that much more than I did from the original Surviving R. Kelly, but worth a watch as well.
Do they include the pee video?
They do not include the pee video. The one thing that they do mention is a lot of these folks do take umbrage with things like the pee video and things of that nature that make light of their situation. So you can kind of see where they're going with that.
So there's a lot of women that got peed on.
I mean, I can't confirm nor deny because I am not Robert Sylvester Kelly, as somebody keeps referring to him in this episode.
Did you ever see the pee video that was released?
I did not, no.
I did. He straight up
peed. And how did you feel after that?
He straight up peed on that child. Like, that was a child. And don't get me wrong, yeah, she was a willing participant.
Can you be willing at that age is the question.
Legally, no. But that girl looked like she was okay with what was being done from a legal perspective. No.
Perspective. I don't know that you have the cerebral cortex development to really understand your situation when you're like 14 or 15 years old.
What I'm saying is that girl probably got taken to a mall and had thousands of dollars of clothes spent on her and then was told, come back to R. Kelly's house because this dude's going to pee on you.
Well, that's just horrible. That's all I can say
about that. I'm saying right now, if somebody said to me, listen, R. Kelly's going to take you to the mall and he's going to pee on you and he's going to buy you a bunch of Apple gear, I'd be like, can you do me a favor and just keep the urine like below the face? Like, I'm okay.
All right, anyway, go to the Facebook and Twitter page. Make sure you vote on This Week in Racism. I feel it's best if we wrap things up right now. We are going to roll on over, do the Patreon edition. As always, if you go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, go to the upper right corner, click on the link. You can see how to become a patron. As well, you get some great swag, you get some exclusive content, and it's just a good time. We're going to cover some stories that we don't get to here. Brian, anything additional before we roll on out?
Stay safe. All of our listeners, stay out of refrigerated trucks. We want you at home, safe, listening to the podcast week in, week out. Do not go out and endanger yourself and your loved ones. Your life is worth more than that. Ron, I absolutely love you. I enjoy this time that we spend together. And I can't wait to take this a little bit deeper into our Patreon.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Love you too, my friend. We'll be back next week for the regular edition. But as always, this is Ring of Freedom. We have stopped recording. All right, so maybe it'll be easier if we leave the Zoom and do the Patreon through the Skype. I don't know, because that way you can hear the sound effects and the music and everything. All right, so I will end this and then we'll hop on to Skype. I need to stop my own recording.